Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are reflecting on an ongoing series of Bible studies built for all ages. We're going to spend the next few minutes digging a little deeper into that, invite you to build along with us, and give you a little preview as to what's coming this evening here at Charlestown Road. Roger, on Wednesdays in the month of September, we are digging into a basic question: what is salvation? Our building blocks track of studies that is for first graders all the way through high school and even our adults. It is freely available at charlestownroad.org. We're exploring this month what is salvation, and on Wednesdays this month, you and I are just having a conversation about that. In part one of this little series, we just looked at salvation in general. Last Wednesday, we explored the concept of redemption. And today we're talking reconciliation. That's a big word, a word that we hear in a lot of different contexts. When you hear reconciliation, what comes to your mind?
You know, we may think of reconciliation or reconcile, the action that takes place after that. It's the idea of bringing two groups together. Sometimes in business, when you have management and labor and they're at odds and they can't get that contract ironed out, they'll bring in a mediator and he will reconcile, bring the groups together. Sometimes in a marriage, there seems to be a separation, and the couple goes to a counselor, and they talk things through, and things are patched up, and they have been reconciled. They're back together again. So that's the idea of reconciliation. There are two groups that are at odds, two groups that aren't together, and a third party brings them together. Now, in the area of salvation, we're talking about God and us. And the one who brings us together is Jesus Christ. And so I think a great place to start is in the prophet Isaiah. And in chapter 59, he would say in verse 2, "But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." And what that passage reminds us is, our sin isn't just about ourselves. You know, it's my life, my choice. If I want to do wrong, I can do wrong. It doesn't hurt anybody. Around here, when we think about basketball, no blood, no foul. That's how we kind of say things. But what this passage reminds us is that every sin hurts our relationship with God. There's been a separation. We're not on the same page with God. That separation will hinder our prayers. That separation will hurt our eternity. And it's not God who moved. We moved away from God. So now we have this distance. We have this barrier. We have this gap. And reconciliation is going to be the process that brings us back together.
You know, as I think about, okay, in our Bible classes this past Sunday, we pictured this visually as kind of like being in the opposite ends of a chasm. There's some sort of a great earthquake or movement, and okay, I'm on one end of a cliff and God is on the other end of the cliff. I try and imagine, let's say we're out in Arizona and I and my girls are hiking, and by some terrible turn of events, my three daughters are pulled apart, and they're maybe yards and yards and yards away, and there's this giant chasm between us. How serious that would feel in the moment. How terrifying as a father thinking about how in the world are we ever going to come back together again. I mean, this is the stuff of nightmares. But that is exactly the way God pictures our sin in Isaiah 59. And Roger, I appreciate you drawing our attention there first, because we live in a world where every once in a while people will talk about sin, but very few of us have a grasp of how serious sin is. We speak of sin very naturally in our culture as, well, it's a mistake. It's a stumble. It was some sort of an unfortunate thing. I shouldn't have done that, but is it really that big of a deal? What happens? What is serious when I don't realize the chasm that opens up between me and God?
And that separation is not healthy. And that separation is going to keep you from the eternity with God because there is that separation. So unless that chasm is filled, unless that separation is removed, things aren't going to be well. A great passage also that kind of illustrates this is in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Here Paul's talking about the Gentiles. And he says, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ. That's our concept. People who are together don't need reconciliation. It's those who are separated. You are separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's the result of sin. That doesn't just describe Gentiles. That describes everyone who sins. But now, he says in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly afar off, see that idea of separation again, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make two into one new man, thus establishing peace. There he's describing the separation not only between man and God, but Jew and Gentile, and in Christ we're just one. It's not Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians and American Christians and European Christians. We're all one in Jesus. That barrier, that separation has been taken away. There's been a reconciliation.
So maybe you and I can just go back and forth a little bit. When we think of, okay, God on one side of this gap, and here we are on the other side, and we are separated from him. When you think of what he is, the blessings that are available in and of him, and sin separating me from that. For instance, I think of God as light. God is light, and sin separates me from that light, and so now I am blind. I am in darkness. What else do you think of? God is that I'm separated from.
Well, God is pure.
Yeah.
God is holy. And sin, by its very nature, is impure, unholy. And so, you know, it's kind of like oil and water. There's the opposites there. And that causes a separation there as we think about God. God is truth. God is righteous, we may say. He's always right. Sin is living in denial. Sin is living in wrong. Sin is living in falsehood. And so again, there's that separation between man and God on those things.
I think of God as hope and peace. And when we are separated from him, you read for us from Ephesians chapter 2, without hope. That is where we land in our sin. Without peace, there is this disruption, of course, in our relationship with God, but we so easily disrupt peace between ourselves and other people created in his image when we walk away from God. You think of all of those things, maybe the best way of putting it is God is life, right? And sin separates us. It's as old as Genesis chapter 3. We are separated from the tree of life, but more important, more substantial than the tree itself was the giver of the tree, the giver of life. And so sin, it kills us. That's serious.
Paul would say at the end of 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20, we beg you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You need God. You need God on your side. You need God to be your friend. You need God's presence and comfort and power, all those things that come with that relationship with God. When there's that separation, I'm on my own. There's no one there to help me. There's no one there that's going to lead me and guide me and forgive me because I've got this separation. So I need this bridge. I need this this reconciler to bring me back to God so we can be together once again.
Well, and that is the good news that we camped on Sundays from Romans chapter 5. That's really where the thrust of our study came from. And I'll just read a few of these verses from Romans 5. It is good news to hear on a Wednesday. It is good news to reflect on, maybe on your way to work or as you're on the treadmill about to start the rest of your day. It is most certainly good news that we need to have in our hearts and be growing in our ability to share with others. Let me read beginning in Romans 5 and verse 6. For while we were still weak, there we are on one side of that chasm. At the right time, Christ, there is our reconciler, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled, there's our key word, reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, we shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Our key word for the day. Roger, when you hear that paragraph, what stands out to you?
Well, it shows you how active Jesus Christ was in building this bridge so we can get back to his Father. We were there, and I like how three times the word while is used. For while we were still helpless, verse 6 says. Verse 8 says, while we were yet sinners. Verse 10 says, while we were enemies. And all three of those expressions describe that relationship of being separate from God. Helpless, sinners, and enemies. And a lot of people say, well, I'm not the enemy of God. I like God. God's my friend. But until that reconciliation takes place, that's the relationship. Your sin has made this separation. And so you need Jesus Christ to bring you back to God. And so what we see in these verses is how active God is. God wants you to be with him. It was never God's intention when he made Adam and Eve to kick him out of the Garden of Eden. That wasn't his plan. That wasn't the happy day on his calendar. His goal was for them to live forever with him, and their sin caused a separation. And so reconciliation gets us back where we belong, and that's with God.
Sin creates a separation, and separation from God makes me weak. What an important thing to get at the forefront of our minds and to never forget. What an important thing to teach to our young people, our children, our grandchildren, people with whom we have influence. Sin promises the good life. Sin advertises itself as the pathway to fulfillment, but over and over again, we are told, we are shown in Scripture, separation from God makes me weak. But there is such good news here in Romans chapter 5. And let me speak maybe just very personally. There is very little doubt in my mind that there is someone listening right now who feels like, okay, here I am, weak, helpless, a sinner, an enemy. I know that I need God, but I'm not good enough. I need to get my act together. I need to clean myself up, and then I will come to God. Perhaps there is someone even in our community who is listening. Roger, you and I are always so encouraged to find out that maybe someone has been listening and watching for a long time before we ever get the opportunity to meet them in person. And maybe you're listening to this and you have never visited, you've never came and worshiped with us, you've never introduced yourself because you don't feel worthy. You feel like you've just got too much messed up right now. Listen to Romans 5. I appreciate, Roger, you bringing up while we were weak, while we were helpless, while we were sinners, while we were enemies, that is the one for whom Jesus Christ died.
And for what you said, you know, for a person to feel like, okay, you know, I'm just too bad. I just need to get my act together. You're trying to build that bridge on your own. You're trying to get back to God. You're trying to be reconciled, and you can't. You cannot do that. That gap is too great. You've got to have the cross of Jesus Christ for you to cross upon. And so you think, well, you know, I got to get my life together before God will have me. Again, those while expressions tells us that. Jesus did not come after you were sinners. Jesus did not come after you were no longer an enemy. He didn't come after you started going to church. He didn't come after you got forgiveness. He came while. You know, we could use the expression, at the worst possible time, the best came. It's just like a parent opening up a door and there's a catching the kid coloring on the wall. You caught him in the act. God caught us in the act. But he doesn't shut the door and says, I never want to talk to you again. He sent Jesus Christ to build that bridge so we can come back to where we belong.
There is a reason that for generations we have sung such a powerful anthem, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. I mean, that's the separation, right? Here I am, weak, helpless, a sinner, an enemy of God, and I have no plea other than I'm guilty, and yet Jesus' blood was shed for me. What powerful news to shape our hearts in the middle of the week. Powerful news that we need to be willing and able to share. And maybe it begins in the life of someone you know, some coworker, someone at school, just by going back and sharing with them Romans 5, verses 6 through 11.
Great thoughts for us as we consider again this idea that God wants all of us, each and every one of us, to be reconciled to him and to follow him.
Now, on Wednesdays, what we have been doing in our Bible classes, again, first grade all the way through high school and even one of our adult classes, is looking at examples, great stories of salvation is what we have called them, and paralleling them with what we're learning on Sunday. And so a week and a half ago, we looked at redemption, being set free from sin. And so last Wednesday, we looked at the Israelites at the Red Sea and this powerful statement from Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. A couple of days ago on Sunday, we looked at reconciliation, and our Bible classes on the building blocks track of studies this evening will be looking at the prodigal son. What a powerful example of reconciliation. A son goes off into a far country, makes his way home, and is welcomed by, rejoiced over, by his father. Reconciliation is what we'll be talking about this evening with the face of the prodigal son. That's at 7 o'clock p.m. We would love to have you in that series of studies. But Roger, you're also teaching a class in the auditorium.
Yeah, we had a summer series this summer with 9 different gospel preachers. And our theme was the hymn, How Firm a Foundation. And the preachers have gone home, but we are keeping that theme going. And so what we're going to talk about is what does it take to build that foundation and kind of building upon some of the lessons and looking at some of those ideas. These lessons kind of fit together. As we think about that foundation, we think about that bridge which Jesus allows us to travel over to get to God. These all are involving salvation and hope and faith, the core principles of who we are and what we're supposed to be.
I think that's a good reminder for all of us that perhaps you're in the auditorium and you're studying along with Roger. It's a blessing because of the work of so many hard working people, dedicated people here in our church family. You can watch along with the building blocks course of studies, or perhaps you're in our building blocks class and you can't be in two places at once, but thanks to some dedicated crews, you can go to charlestownroad.org and watch and interact with Roger's study, How Firm a Foundation in the Auditorium. We are thankful for the number of brothers and sisters in Christ who have a heart to share this good news with others and are serving in such powerful ways. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to This Week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.